Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Zayin. Today's shiur will begin 17 lines from the top of Daf Zayin. As we've been mentioning along the way, do not forget to use the Pirush Chai book of illustrations in order to fully appreciate the Gemara. The Gemara. Hahu Gavra Dehavaboni Ashisa Achori Kavi Dehavre. There was a man that built a wall right in front of windows of his neighbor, windows of his neighbor's house. Omale Komaflusalai. So the owner of the house says, you know, you're making it dark for me. And as we go through the Gemara, you're going to see a series of suggestions, a give and take between the two parties. So the one who wants to build the wall says, Omale, Sachar no loch hocha, I'll block up your windows, I'll brick up your windows at this point. Vavid no loch kafi le'el mashisoi. And I'll make windows above the height of my wall. So you'll get light from those windows that are above the wall. Omar le, ko maris le lashisoi. So the owner of the house says, if you're going to bang into my wall higher up to form windows, you're going to be weakening my wall. Omar le, sasar no loch lashisoch ad duchto de kavi. So I have a different idea. It says, I'll knock down your wall till the height of the windows. Uvanina loch, and I'll rebuild the wall. Vavidna loch kavi bivinyona le'el mashisoi. And I'll form windows in this newly built part of the wall, higher above the wall I am building. Omar le, so the owner of the house says, Ashisa mitato atiko umneel chadato lo kaimo. A wall that the lower part of it is Atika is old, and the part and above it, in other words, half of the wall from the halfway mark up is new, doesn't stand. It's not firm. It's not secure. Amale, so the one who wants to build the wall says, Sasar no loch ad la'ara, so I'll knock down your entire wall. Uvanina lo, and I'll rebuild it. Vavidna loch kavi begavo, and I'll make the windows in the newly built wall. Amale, so the owner of the house says, Chada ashiso chadato bekule beso atiko lo kaimo. One new wall as part of a house that had the rest of which are old walls doesn't stand. It's not secure. Omale, so the one who wants to build the wall suggests, Sasarno lo lekule beso. You know what? I'll knock down your entire house. Ubonino loch kavi bevinyona. And I'll build windows in your newly constructed house. Omale, so the house owner responds, Lesli duchta lemeidarba. I don't have any place to live in the meantime. Omale, agirno loch duchta. So the neighbor says, I'll rent a place for you. Omale, lo tarachno. So the owner of the house says, I don't want the trouble. It's too much trouble for me to move out, rent a place until you rebuild my house. Omale, Rav Chama, bedin ko ma'akev. The owner of the house has a rightful claim to prevent reject this these offers, including the final offer. The Gemara asks, Hainuhach, the Hasu Lomali. This case that we have, as you can see with triangle number 2, is seemingly the same as case number 1 with the sinking house. What do I need two cases that, in effect, teach me the same thing? The Gemara answers, Ha Kamashmalan, the revelation of this second case is, the Afagav de lo mishtamish elo tivno v'tzivi ba'almo, even though it's not a regular domicile, but it's a storage house for teven, for straw, and for tzivi, for wood, and you might have thought that the necessity of having light there is not so urgent. You can see, though, even in such a case, the owner of that house has a legitimate claim against the individual trying to build the wall. And now we have another case. on the side of the Gemara, you can see under our Nosei, our topic heading, Shnei Achim Shecholku Nechseim, two brothers that divided an estate. Echod Notal Bayis Ve'echod Notal Gino, one took a house and one took a garden. Balagino Rotzel Livnois Kir Mul Habayis Shenotal Ochiv, the owner of the garden wanted to build a wall opposite the house that the brother who took the house, Ubekach Yafil Olav, with the building of this wall in his garden, he will be darkening the house, darkening the interior of the house. The Gemara, Hano Be Tre Achi De Palgi Bahadi Hadodi, there were two brothers that split an estate. Chad Matyo Asplido V'Chad Matyo Tarbitzo. One received a spalida, we'll say for right now a house. We'll see later, Mirza Hashem, in the Tosfos, different approaches to that word. But for the meantime, we'll say a house, and the other received a garden. The Rashi, Tarbitzo, says, Gino Shebetzada Traklin Shoiso Mi'iro Lusocho. A garden that was next to the traklin, the building, and light was entering the building from the direction of that garden. The Gemara continues, Ozal hahu dematya tarbitza v'kaboni ashisa apumadas blida. The one who received the garden went ahead and built a wall at the entrance of the house. In other words, it was at the border between the garden and the house. He built a wall. Omarle ka'amaflis olai. Like we saw before, you're making a dart for me. Omarle b'didi ka'banino. So the one who took the garden said, I'm building the wall in my portion. Rashi says, b'dinafshoi ano banino. The language of the Rashi is slightly different than the Gemara, but it's the same point. B'nafshoi means within my section. B'sheli ani boine v'ata ein l'cho olai chazoka erishol sholoshanim. I'm building in my portion, and you don't have light use of 3 years that you have a claim to prevent me from building the wall. Dahashtu the palginu, we palginuhu, we just now split the estate. The assumption made here is that if you were enjoying light from my garden for a period of 3 years, so then you would have a claim against my building the wall, but that's not the case here. Omar Rav Chamo, so Rav Chamo says, Bedin ko Omar Lei. The owner of the garden has a rightful claim to justify his building the wall in that fashion. What we'll have to see later in the Tosfos is what exactly is the result. Does it mean that now the house is going to be a big dark room or something else? But for right now, Rav Chamo is saying that the claim that the garden brother has, that he is building the wall in his portion, is a legitimate claim. Omerle Ravino the Ravashi, my shno meha disanya. What is different about this case than the following case? Shnei achim shecholku, two brothers that divided an estate. Echad mehem notal sode kerem, ve'echad mehem notal sode lovan. One took a vineyard and the other took a grain field. Yesh lo lebala kerem dalad amas besode lovan. The one who took the vineyard has an additional 4 amos in the grain field. Sha'al minas kein cholku. It was with this in mind that they divided, that the one who took the grain field took it with the understanding that the one who took the vineyard gets 4 amos into the grain field. Omale, so he answers, Hosam de olu lahadodi. In that case, there was a financial adjustment whereby the one who took the vineyard would compensate the one who took the sode lavan, for the additional 4 amos that he was going to receive. Omar le, hocha mai delo alo la dodi. And in the division of the estate where one took a house and the other took a garden, there was no financial adjustment. V'chi b'shuftani askinon, are we dealing with fools? D'hai shokil esbelida v'hai shokil tarbitza v'lo olo la'dodi. That one would take a gorgeous mansion and the other would take a garden, and there wasn't any financial adjustment. that namely that the magnificent mansion, the Aspolita, is worth more than a garden. So if they're dividing an estate and one of them is taking the Aspolita, the mansion, he certainly is going to be offering compensation, a financial adjustment where there is an equal division at the end of the day. So that if you're going to justify the receipt of the four amos as a result of this olu lahadodi concept, so we would say that the rights to light that the mansion man enjoys is also a function of olu lahadodi. Amale, so he responds, Nihida olu lahadodi deme livni kshuri vahudri, granted that there is a financial adjustment for the additional value that a house has in that there are bricks and beams and rafters that are worth more than a mere garden. However, deme avira lo olu lahadodi, the idea of avira, airspace, air rights, which in this case has to do with the air rights that the house would enjoy by preventing the wall being built opposite its entrance, that the deme avira wasn't part of a financial adjustment. So at this point then, the wall man will say the garden brother has a right to build a wall. However, should there not be a claim that the house brother makes, can he not make the following claim? Ikoras Belida Palgis Li Hashto Mashvis Li in Deruna. Initially we divided in such a way that I would get the Aspolita, and now with your building the wall, it's not an Aspolita, it's a dark room, it's an Indaruna. Omar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi Shmo Baalma Poligle. In the division, it was a division in name, house, whether it's a house full of light or a dark house, it's a house. And that's all we divided. There was no guarantee in the division that you would remain with a house full of light. Milo, Tanya, and in fact, do we not have precedent for that in the following? Oimer, Beis Kur Oferani Moicherloch. In a case of a sale, one claims, one offers, I'm selling you a Beis Kur. Base core offer literally means dirt, but it means a parcel of land, base core. Base core, generally speaking, is a measure, is a certain area. And the ruling is, even if the total area is only half a base core, lesef, the deal goes through. Shalom ochalo alo shmo, all that was sold was something in name. Vehu, the mystery base core, provided that parcel of land is called is called by the public base core. Similarly, pardes ani mocherloch. Man claims, I'm selling you a pardes. Translated literally, a pardes would be an orchard. Afal pi shein bo rimoinim higio. Even if there are no pomegranates growing, a grove of pomegranates is lacking, the deal goes through. Shelo mocherloch shma. All that was sold was something in name. Vehu demiskri pardes, provided in the public, amongst the population, that parcel of land is called pardes. Kerem ani mochelach, a kerem, literally a vineyard, I am selling you. Afal pishen bo gifanim, even if there are no vines, higil, the sale goes through. Shalom ochalo el shmo, all that was sold was something in name. Vehu de miskri karma, provided that, in fact, is called karma. You can imagine a town by the name of Vineland. If someone claims, I'm selling you a house in Vineland, and you go to there, that place, and there are no vines in that land, but the place is called Vineland, that's the name, it's still a legitimate sale, provided that the town is called that by name. That's just by way of example. So in our case, with regard to the house garden, the one who got a house, whether it's light or dark, and therefore the wall has a right to be built. The Gemara says, Mi Domi, how can you compare the case of our brothers dividing and this Tanaic source? There the seller can say to the buyer, Shma Zvinilach, I sold you something that exists in name alone. Hacha Motzi Omerle, here in the case of the division of the estate, the owner, the brother that took the house, has a claim though. Agaito Dahachi Palgi da Irno Be Ki Hechi de Dora Vosan. The division was such that we would continue living in our respective parcels, you the garden and me the house, as father lived. Father lived in a house full of light, not in a dark house. And therefore, the division was with that in mind. Omru Lay, we continue at the top now of Omid Beis. The response to this was by Mar Yanuko, Mar Kshisha Breda of Chizda Lurvashi. So let me read that again. Omru Lay, Mar Yanuko, Mar Kshisha Breda of Chizda, the sons of Rav Chizda responded to Rav Ashi. Nahardoi, Nahardoi is a reference to Rav Chama, who issued his ruling regarding the right to have the wall built. Nahardoi, Rav Chama, who is from Nahardoi, also represents a school of thought that is characteristic of that town of Nahardoi. Nahardoi Lutamayu, the rabbis of Nahardoi, in this case Rav Chama, is consistent with other Nahardoi rabbis. Who is the example of the other Nahardoi rabbi? Shmuel. The Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, Ho'achin Shechoku, when brothers divide property, Ein Lohem, Lo Derech Zelze, Velo Chalona Zelze, Velo Suloma Zelze, Velo Amasamayim Zelze, Vehizaru, Bohen, Shalochus Kvuos Hein. Before we get into translation, simply Rav Shmuel says that when brothers divide, they each one receives their own portion and they have no claim against the other. In other words, the idea that I'm going to continue living here like father enjoyed it is not a legitimate claim. One brother does not have, once they divide, a claim on the other. So in the examples cited here, Lo Derech Zalzeh, if they divide an estate and one receives, let's say, an inner parcel of land and the other an outer parcel of land that has borders on a road, as far as access rights are concerned to the inner parcel of land, the brother that received that doesn't have an automatic claim that I have easement rights through the outer parcel of land taken by another brother. Lo Chalona Zalzeh is the idea of a right to complain against one darkening the other's property. That is what is relevant to our case. As Rashi says, Velo Chalonas La'arer, to complain al stima soro, the blocking of the light. Lo Sulomo Zalzeh, Rashi has an example, and later we'll see in Ritz Hashem in Tosfos a slightly different example, but so we'll read the Rashi for right now. He says, "Velo sulamos im notal zeh bayis v'chotzer v'zeh notal aliyah." If one brother received a ground floor and a courtyard surrounding the house, and the other received an aliyah, a second story, ein lo legboa sulam b'chotzero. The one who received the upper story does not have a right to fix a ladder in the chotzer shelzeh lalos aliyoso. So it doesn't have ladder rights upon the other. The Gemara went on with an additional example, v'lo amas amayim zalzeh. Rashi says, v'lo amas amayim lo avio min hanor derech sodeu shelzeh letoch shelo. Water rights to conduct water from the river through the other one's field to reach his field. And the Gemara concludes this list of rulings, and be careful that these are established halachas. The Rav Omar Yeshlan. Rav disagrees with Shmuel, but for our purposes we want to emphasize Shmuel being a member of Nahardol. And now another case. And before we go on with the other additional case, on the side we have a topic heading which reads Havushtar Shel Yisaimim Ligvois Choivas Avihem V'yotzei Keneg De Shoivar, a group of orphans, meaning children of a lender of money. The lender, the Malva, died, and they come forth with a shtar entitling them to collect the debt. However, in response to that shtar, there is a receipt indicating shikvar shulam laviyam, that the debt was already paid to their father. So now the Gemara, hahu shtar diyasmi, there was a shtar, a shtora, a document, a loan document, namely their father had loaned money, denofik ole tavra, but opposite in response to it, there was a tavra. Tavra is a shovor, a receipt indicating that the debt was paid. Oma Rav Chama, and now another ruling of Rav Chama, and that's why we have all these triangles that you've seen, and we had introduced them in our previous year. These are different rulings of Rav Chama. He says, Agvi lo magvinon le, We don't entitle the collection of the dead. Umikra lo karinon le, nor do we tear up the bill of collection. Agvila magvinon le denofak tavra le, and enabling collection that we're not going to allow because there is a receipt against it. Mikra lo karinon le, however, we're not going to tear it up either. Dilchigad li yasmi, when the yisayman, when these orphans reach adulthood, dilma maisu rayo mari le, they might be able to bring a proof to weaken the legal strength of the receipt. That would be by showing that those who signed the receipt were false witnesses. Omale Rav Acha Bre de Rav de Ravina Hilchas Amai. Rav Acha asks Ravina, what is the ruling? Omale Ravina says Bekulu Hilchasok Rav Chama Labar Mitavra. In all of the cases, we had four triangle cases, and all in three of them we rule like Rav Chama, with the exception of this last case. With regard to the last case, Rav Chama was hesitant to granting full believability to the receipt. However, here Ravina says regarding that case, the receipt has full believability. The Sadi witnesses b'shakri lo machzikino. We don't assume them to be liars. So if there's a receipt indicating that the debt was paid up, the debt was surely paid up. And my understanding would be then that this idea of them the bill of collection could in fact be torn up. We're not going to wait till some later time when they reach adulthood to try to weaken the shovar. Marzutra Breder Rav Mori Omar Behonam Yilchazok Rav Chama. In the fourth case, also with regard to the receipt, we will rule like Rav Chama. Din Isa the Tavra Mal Yehu, if it was really such a strong, believable receipt, Iboyale Lafuki B'chayavun, it should have been produced when the father was still alive. When the Umidilavke, from the fact that it wasn't produced when the father was still alive, Shmamino Ziyufi Zaife, there's reason to conclude that in fact it's a receipt that's really forged. Let us now turn to Tosfos Dibur HaMaaseh Hainu Hach on Zayin Omid Aleph, the third Tosfos on the Daf. Tosfos relates to the first and second cases in our series of triangles where Rav Chama offers his psak. The first case, which we dealt with at the end of our previous shiur, we'll call it the sinking house, where Rav Chama ruled that the upper guy has a legitimate claim to remain in his comfortable upper story while the ceiling of the lower story is closing in on the floor there, and the owner of the lower facility cannot insist on the upper guy moving out and in the meantime having a place rented for him. That case, the Gemara claimed in its question, seemed to be the same as the second case. What was gained by teaching the second case with the windows blocking the house, where Rav Chama also ruled again that the insistence on the owner of the house being, let's say, moved out, having an alternative place rented for him, is not something that the wall builder can insist on. The Tosfos, Hainuhach, Vim Tomar, you might ask, why does the Gemara say Hainuhach? Why does the Gemara rule that these two cases, one and two, are the same? Each case, in fact, has a chiddush that I wouldn't have known from the other case. V'ha ashminen, v'hai uvda d'chadeto, Atika lo koi. In the second case, we call the triangle number two case, we learn that a new wall doesn't stand securely when it's built amongst old walls. De lo shaminon me'ahi de'leil. We don't learn that from the first case, from the sinking house scenario. Uliel, it's Durich, and case number one, also, I need that. Kidaminon because of that which the Gemara continues to say, upper guy has his claim of remaining in his house as long as the ceiling of the lower house doesn't come within 10 tvachim of the floor. So I need to teach case one for that information. So why does the Gemara that we saw today, why does it say, oh, they're both the same? That both cases seem to be the same, that the insistence of one party to have the other party move out and rent a facility for them is not a legitimate claim, when we just demonstrated that each one of the cases has its own unique chiddush. V'yesh lomar, and Tosfos answers, d'milsa d'pshita hi d'chada chadata v'kula atiko lokoi. What you claimed was the chiddush in case number two, that one old wall doesn't stand securely when it's attached to three original old walls. That's obvious. That's something everyone knows. You don't need to be an advanced civil engineer in order to understand that. And for that information, there was no necessity in quoting that second case. Therefore, the Gemara had to discover what in fact was the chiddush, and it did so by saying that the second case was needed for a wood hay storage facility. We now continue with Tosfos Dibur Maschil Ispalida. This relates to the Gemara that we saw on the second wide line, where two brothers divided an estate. One took a garden and one took an aspalida. And you can see in our marked Tosfos there are a series of triangles. These are different explanations as to what an aspalida is. And the double underline highlights the different pirushim. So if you scan the Tosfos before we get into it, Rashi says it's a traklin yofe, which is a beautiful mansion. The Oruch gives his pshat a ma'ora, a cave. And the Ri gives as his pshat an achsadra. And we'll have to... achsadra we can translate for right now as a type of sun porch. Now the Tosfos. Ispalida, pirush Rashi, traklin yofe. As we saw, it's a gorgeous mansion. Uva'oruch pirish me'ora, a cave. And aspalida is a cave. So you have one took a garden and the other one took a cave. Kidimitargem, as the Aramaic rendition of Tehillim, says mipnei shol be'ma'ora, that's in Tehillim perek nun gimel. The targum of that is be'ispalida. So you have the word me'ora, a cave, and the targum ispalida. The omer ri. Now, the ri challenges the Oruch, and later you see the Ri gives his own pirush, but in the meantime the Ri raises a rejection of this explanation, and you can see we have a long marking. The Omer Ri, Dispalida de Hocha, the Ispalida in our case where the brothers divided, one took a garden, the other one took an Ispalida, Iyevshulos Mora, it cannot possibly be a cave. Mi de Ka'omar, from that which it said in the course of this discussion, you might recall, well, you can see it also nine lines from the bottom in our Gemara. Part of the Gemara flow was Nihi da'olu la'dodi b'kshuri v'hudri. Granted, this is simply a quote from the Gemara that we saw in regarding that case, where it said, granted that they had a financial resolution adjustment, a financial adjustment regarding kshuri v'hudri. Kshuri v'hudri are different thick beams and thin beams. The description of one of these of the ispalida having kshuri v'hudri, uvemara leko kshuri v'hudri, in a cave there are no beams, so that kshuri v'hudri would not be the fact that the Gemara described the ispalida as having kshuri v'hudri indicates that we're clearly not dealing with a cave. The ode, and furthermore, Midika Omar, eight lines from the bottom in the Gemara, it had said, Meikara Espolida Vahashta in Daruna. Originally, when father had it was an Espolida. Now it's an Indaruna, a dark room. So that you went from Ispalita, a place of light, to a place of darkness. In a cave, there's no light to begin with. So on these two counts, the Ri rejects the Oruch's explanation of Me'ora. Umeforish Ri, Dispalita Docha, Havi Achsadra. An Aspalita here is an Achsadra. What's an Achsadra? So it's a. There are different explanations throughout the Shas, but for our purposes, it would be a type of, let's say, a room that has three walls, and the fourth side is open, is almost completely open, so a lot of light flows into it. So that's an achsadra. So Aspalito is an achsadra. Sheesh bo oira gedoilo. It has a lot of light. Sheprutza bruach echad. It's open, completely open on one of its sides. So three sides, their walls, one side totally open. Ken amrina belu yachbor. In the second parak of this masechta, you see a gemara that says oilam doima lachsadra v'chule. The world is like an achsadra, and in describing the world as an achsadra, it has to do with something that's surrounded on three sides and open on a fourth side. V'chein muchach b'hakim etzrabo, diomar abaye, and likewise in perek hakim etzrabo in Maseches Menachos, Abaye says, and you'll see the word in the next couple lines, you'll see the word espalita interchanged with the word achsadra. And that's what the Ri is aiming for. See, so there it says, Chazino lehu lispaliti de beimor de is lehu pitsimi. I notice the ispaliti of mor has psimi. Psimi are posts, upright posts, like columns. Use the Pirush Chai Sefer to appreciate this particular point. The less lehu mezuzah. And you have an aspalita. It has pitsimi, upright columns, and there's no mezuzah. And in other words, uporich, and he asks Meisve, Beishar v'achsadru mupesis chayova b'mezuzah. How can you have an aspalita without a mezuzah when you see a source that says that these different areas of Beishar and an achsadra? Now you'll notice how we dashed underline achsadra and also the word aspalita, indicating that they are one in the same, and that source says that they have to have a mezuzah. So we don't have to get into the details of Dine Mezuzah right now, but all that the Ri wants to point out is from the Gemara in Menachos, you see that the Ispalida is in fact an Achsadra. Otherwise there would be no question from that source that is raised as a challenge to the Ispalida debate more. So as you can see in this thesis, we have three Pirushim as to what an aspalita is. We continue now with Tosfos Omar Leh. This refers to the Gemara on the fourth wide line, where you had once again the two brothers divided. One took a mansion, and the other, well, that's according to Rashi, of course, or an achsadra according to the Ri, and the other took a garden, and the one who built the garden. The one who took the garden built a wall right at the, we'll call the border between the garden, and so he built the wall. And in the Gemara said, he says, I'm building the wall in my portion in the garden itself. It's true, it's blocking the light of the Ispalita, but I'm building the wall in my part, so that you can't challenge me, you can't complain against that. Before we get into the Tosfos itself, let's just take a look. We have a taksir, a type of summary, and a mivne, structural notation. Diamonds will appear. These ezo efsharut haya bidei ha'ach shekibel hagina. We'll look at the different possibilities or the different options or powers or rights the brother who took the garden has. So if you scan ahead, you'll notice that the diamonds highlight the Pirush HaKuntres of Rashi, then Rabbeinu Tam, and later the Ri. According to Rashi, Menias or Lagamri. According to Rashi, he had a right to completely block out all of the light. And Rabbeinu Tam, he says that before there was a wall, if you were standing in the Ispalita, you could see afar. You could stand in the Ispalita, and if you had, let's say, a flock of sheep grazing afar, you could see. Now with the wall built at the entrance of this Ispalita, it blocks his power to see afar, a power that he once enjoyed, once had there. And the Ri says that the wall serves to reduce the light level, but not completely cancel or completely obliterate all of the light, like Rashi had said. Now the Tosfos. Amarle bedidi kavanina pirusha kuntris. We read that when we saw the Gemara. We read that in the Rashi, where the one who took the garden says to the one who took the house, "You don't have a presence here of 3 years of light enjoyment, which if you would have had that, so then you could have used that as an argument or a claim against my building the wall. But we just now divided." V'teima. This here Tosfos raises a kasha on Rashi that v'teima shehaya yochol la'afilu olav sheloyu yelod b'traknur klal. It's a dover tomua. It's very strange. It's like unbelievable that the one brother who took the garden could in fact have a right to build a wall blocking all of the light from the Ispalita. And yet, according to Rashi, that seems to be the case. He can has a right to build a wall blocking all of the light. That's tema. It's tover tomua. V'yoyin, demai ko'omar, that which it says later in the Gemara, 10 lines from the bottom, v'avira lo olu ahadodi. In trying to create a contrast between this case and the division of a vineyard with a grain field, without getting into the details, the Morris said, well then, in this case, there was no financial adjustment for the Avira. The idea of the Avira would be the value that would be paid to the guy, the one who took the garden, to prevent the building of the wall. So the Tosfos says, "Pshita de olu nami ba'avira." It's obvious that there was some kind of payment made regarding avira de bias below ora eino shavet klum. A house without any light is not worth anything, so that in taking the house, he must have compensated the one who took the garden not only for the value of the increased value of the rafters and the beams, but also the right to maintain light in his house, because as Tosfos says, a house that has no light in it is not worth anything. So that in reading the Gemara that Avira lo olu adadi, there was no financial adjustment regarding Avira, if it is as Rashi says, that the garden man would have been able to build a wall blocking total light, that right would have been paid for, or the right to do so would have been canceled by the financial adjustment made by the one taking the house, compensating the one who took the garden, and that would have been factored in as well. Umeforesh Rabbeinu Tam she me'aspalida hayoyocholiros lisadoisov derech atarbitza. The one who took the house, the Ispalita, was able to see his fields that were out in the distance by looking through windows of the Ispalita through the garden. Now, with the wall built, he won't be able to enjoy that. Uduka Omar, and that which it said in the Gemara on the third wide line, Ma'aflis Iluyai, translated literally Ma'aflis, mean you're making it dark for me. According to the Reinu Tam, how do you figure that in? What does Ma'aflis Iluyai mean? Now, with the wall there, you're blocking me from seeing my fields out in the distance. The term in Deruna, which up till now we've been translating as a dark room, can also be used in this sense, preventing the ability to see out in the distance. Is also, now that I have a place from which I can't see far, that's also an Indaruna. And Rabbi Natan will explain that which it says on Omid Beis, four lines from the top, Ein lehem chaloyne zelzeh. I should say, V'chein meforesh ahu de lekamon, Ein lehem chaloyne zelzeh. Rabbi Natan explains that point in this same way, that whereas before the division, we'll say the father there could have looked out his window and seen afar, now that a division takes place, and there are two sons taking different parts of the estate, the right, we'll say, to block long range distance exists. He has a right to do that. Umiu koshe l'ri. Now the ri raises his objection to the Rabbeinu Tam. Well, with the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation in mind long-range viewing, the Mai Koporech, what is in the mind of the Gemara on the fifth wide line, Mai Shno Meha Desanya? The Gemara raised a question on Rav Chama's Psak in the case of regarding the Sode Kerem and the Sode Lovon division. And we saw there that the Sode, the Kerem, the Bala, the Sode Kerem had a right to receive the four amos of additional space in the grain field. And the Gemara was saying, well, what's the difference between that case and this case of the wall being built at the entrance of the Ispalida? Well, if the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation is to be taken seriously, Hosam Vadai Yesh Lo Dalet Amos, the Vishem Tzorech of Zakerem, the four Amos, and we didn't explain this before, but Rashi had pointed out that the four Amos are for the purpose of cultivating the Kerem, a plow that will be drawn around the base of the vines has a width of has a certain width to it, and that width accounts for the need to have four amos of additional space, and that's necessary to prevent problems of kilayim, and that is that's an obvious need. Avolocha zelo hoya tzorchas balida, but to parallel the viewing afar to the four amos of the kerem, there's no parallel. In the case of the four amos of the kerem, the four amos are necessary for the kerem. To speak about the viewing afar of as a necessity for the aspalito, that's not so. Aspalito, however you explain it, it's not. There isn't part and parcel of an aspalito the for its benefit the need to see afar. Mishum hachi bedin komale, and therefore the balagina certainly had a right to build the wall. The Gemara wouldn't have even raised the question from the division of the grain field with the vineyard. So if you're going to, just to repeat this or to summarize the Ri's problem with the Rabbeinu Tam, is that if the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation the complaint of the house owner is one of you're now preventing me from seeing afar, then the Gemara's raising of a question from the case of the brothers that divided grain field and vineyard would not have been in place. Venira Lari Devadai Hoyamafil Olov Ha'oira. Shalohoya boira gedoyla kashir tsorich lafsadra. The re goes in a to a certain extent back to the Rashi approach that the wall was threatening the issue of light, and light is something that we can say is a necessity for the Esplita, just like we saw the four Amos were a necessity for the vineyard. However, he doesn't go as far as Rashi. And I should point out that the Re, who just mentioned Achsadra, is consistent with the Re in the previous Tosfos, that Esplita is translated as an Achsadra, called the sun porch. So the Re says that the wall, it not like the Rabbeinu Tam, which had to do with blocking the ability to see afar, but rather the wall would be reducing the light level. And in what sense? That now with the wall, just to read again in the Tosfos, Shalohoya bo oira gedoyla kashitzorch lachsadra. There was now going to be less light. There wouldn't be a great amount of light as is necessary for an achsadra. An achsadra being a sun porch is a place that a person wants to have a lot of light entering. Now with the wall, that great amount of light is going to be reduced. Avala dayin hoya bo or gadol, but there still was still quite bright in there, even with the wall there. And in that sense, you can see the Re differs from Rashi. V'ha diomar, that which it said earlier on daf beis omid beis, six lines from the bottom, umi kenegdon marchik arba amos shelo yafil, in building a wall opposite someone's windows, the Gemara there had spoken about distancing a wall four amos so that there shouldn't be darkness. Hainu shelo yafil legamri ad shelo yeroi lishtamish bo yofe, keep the wall four amos away so that it shouldn't be completely dark, so that you wouldn't be able to use the room. Umishim hachi kori le indaruna, and because of this, the term indaruna is, you see in our Gemara, mishum. Now, even though you might say indaruna means a dark room, and here you see that that doesn't figure in the discussion at all according to the Re. Nevertheless, mishum de legabi achsadra indarunahi, relatively speaking, relative to an achsadra without any walls in front of it, there's a tremendous amount of light entering. There might even be, you'll have direct sunlight entering. If I'm not mistaken, there are the nafkaminis la'alocha legabi bedikas chometz in an achsadra. We have direct sunlight entering so that you could check it out. You can even check it out because of that during the daytime, because you have that tremendous amount of light. I'm just saying that out of memory. You'd have to look back in the Maseches Psachim to verify that. But regarding Nachsadra that has a tremendous amount of light, and now with the wall built opposite it, you're reducing that tremendous amount of light. We can use the term in Daruna. Fahashtanami Yossi Shapir, and now with this in mind, we also understand the point made in our Gemara Delo Olu La'adodi. There wasn't a financial adjustment made when the brothers divided. One took the Espolita and the other took the garden. Regarding the great amount of light, that's Avira, the airspace that's necessary for an Achsadra, the great amount of light that would now be reduced by a wall built in the tarbitz in the garden. So we'll call it that light level reduction was not part of any financial adjustment. So according to the Re, as you can see, he's explained all of the different points raised earlier, the different expressions in the Runa and the issue of the financial adjustment, all enabling one to appreciate his shot of the what the wall builder would be able to do, namely build a wall reducing light level. Once again, that's in contrast to the Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, which had to do with seeing afar, and Rashi's pshat, which had to do with building a wall that would have blocked the light completely. And now we continue with Tosfos Dibur Maschil Vehu Dekorole Beis Kur. In this Tosfos, we have a little summary, the Taksir, which says Tosfos Oisek B'She'ela. Tosfos will deal with the question, Loma Mishum Shenikra Beis Kur, just because something is called a Beis Kur, even though it doesn't have that actual area measure, Higio, the sail, goes through. V'Neimo D'Domim Odim, why couldn't the argument be raised? Let's just look at the amount of money that was paid, and that will decide whether or not a full Beis Kur was bought, or if only a Lesechei, half a Beis Kur, was bought. Now the Tosfos, Vehu Dekoru Le Beis Kur, referring to the Gemara, five lines from the bottom. Ukigoin Shalokeach Yodea Shiesh Lo Karka Shikori Beis Kur. What the Gemara described as this kind of deal going through, there is an assumption made, or I should say we must presume, we must make the following presumption, that the purchaser knew that the seller has a parcel of land that the community referred to by the term Beis Kur. So it was by popular knowledge that he's got a piece of land called Beis Kur. And with that in mind, we say in the Gemara, in the Brisa that was quoted, that even if it doesn't measure an actual Beis Kur, the deal goes through, because that's how people called it, referred to it. The Elo Kane, if that were not the case, Hare Hideu, then we would say that the seller tricked the buyer. Ve'afilu im roya b'shas mechira shein shom Beis Kur, even in a case where at the time of the sale, the buyer sees that it's too small, that's not a Beis Kur, yochol lomar, that purchaser still has a claim. Savur hoyisi, I thought when I bought the land from you, and you said you were selling a Beis Kur, and again, assuming that it's not a parcel referred to as Beis Kur, I thought, says the buyer, shoyiso mashlim li Beis Kur, I thought you were going to add land to make it a complete Beis Kur. So that if, just to review, if the parcel of land being bought was referred to by the public as a Beis Kur, then the actual size becomes irrelevant. But if that's not the case, and you have a seller saying, I'm selling you a Beis Kur, buyer over there is present, seeing that what he's buying isn't a Beis Kur, he nevertheless had a claim, he could have a claim that I thought you would add to what I bought to make a total of a full Beis Kur. Vim Tomar, you might ask, V'neimo D'domim Modim, why not say that the money, the amount of money paid, is that which is revealing? V'im Nosan Lo D'me Beis Kur, if the buyer paid an amount of money that would buy an actual Beis Kur, Afilu Koru Le Beis Kur, Yashlamo Beis Kur Shalem, even in a case where the public calls the smaller piece of land by the term Beis Kur, nevertheless, look how much money was paid, and it would be expected for the seller to add to the deal so that it measures an actual Beis Kur, regardless of the fact that people in the area, in the neighborhood, called the smaller piece of land a Beis Kur. So, just to review, why not say Domim Modim? V'yesh Lomar. You'll notice that we have a couple of approaches. This is number one, and shortly we'll see number two. Demairi in the Brisa, where we saw that if it's called a Beis Kur, even if it's far less, the deal goes through. The Brisa is Demairi speaking, Kegoin de Oizil Gabe, Veino Noisen Lo Afilu Demei Lesech, where the seller is offering the land at a great discount, where the amount of money that's paid isn't even the value of half a base koi, or lesech. And with that in mind, so the issue of looking at the amount of money paid doesn't settle anything. So what is the deciding factor? The e korule base koi, if the public refers to that parcel of land as a base koi, afilu einbo elo lesech, even if it's less than a base koi, even if it's a half a base koi, it's a lesech, the deal goes through. The e lo korule base koi, and if that parcel of land that was sold as a base koi is not called a base koi by the public, chayav lo seis lo base koi shalem, and even though so little amount of money was paid, but the deal was made in anticipation of receiving a full base koi, and that is what must be delivered. Inami, another approach is de lo ozil gabe, there was no reduction. Okagon de nosan lo de me lesech, and the amount of money paid was for half a base koi. Vahashto, and now with this in mind, in lo korule base koi, if the parcel of land were not referred to by the term base koi, and the amount of money paid was for a lesech, hayoyachol lomar lokeach, the purchaser could have said, "Im tirtze losis li beis kor sholem, v'la'amoid b'mekha amod." If you want to give me a full beis kor and to maintain the deal, then fine. V'ilav, and if you don't intend to give me a full beis kor, tafsu li mosai, give me back my money. Avoli korule beis kor. If the parcel of land for which he paid the value of a lesech is called a base koi, and in reality the amount of land was a lesech, higio, the deal goes to rafot bishein bo elo lesech, even if there isn't only in that parcel a lesech. We now continue with the Tosfos on Omid Beis, Dibur Hamasu Mar Yanuka. We saw in the questions a question raised. A question was posed to Rav Ashi by the sons of Rav Chisda, Mar Yanuka and Mar Keshisha. Now, the term Yanuka means a youngster or something that has to do with youth, like Yonek or Tinok, and Keshisha, Kashish, has to do with old. So we have two sons of Rav Chisda, and we want to know, Tosfos deals with the issue of who's the younger son and who's the older son. So here there's a bit of a surprise for you. Mar Yanuka, the one called Yanuka, hu ha-godol, he's actually the older of the two sons of Rav Chisda. Why then is he called Yanuka? V'al-shem shenolad b'yankusa sh'Rav Chisda kori lei Mar Yanuka. It's because he was born when Rav Chisda was young. So the idea of Yanuka having to do with youth, that is reflective of the father, Rav Chisda. When Rav Chisda was young, so this son was born. So Mar Yanuka is really the older son. He was born when the father was much younger. Mar Keshisha, the son referred to by that term, who hatsoir, he was the younger of the two brothers, Vinolat Bikshishu Sashel Rav Chisda, was born when Rav Chisda was older. So that you can see that a superficial translation would actually be quite the opposite from the reality. We now continue with Tosfos Nahardoi Litamayu. Rav Chama, who was from Nardo, is referred to as a member of the school of Nahardoi. Tosfos Nahardoi Litamayu, Rav Chama Nahardoi who? Rav Chama was from Nahardo. Kiramrina Perek Amud Sanhedrin, in the first Perek of Sanhedrin, it says there, 24 lines from the top over there, Amoroi de Nahardoi, there's a list of different terms used to refer to different rabbinic figures. And in the course of the list, you see the term Amoroi de Nahardoi. That's a code name for Rav Chama. And in our Gemara, we said that Rav Chama, in ruling that when brothers divide, they have they can't claim to continue the use like their father, is a ruling that consistent with other Nardoi rabbinic figures, specifically Shmuel, who said that they have lo chalono zalzeh. So Tosfos points out Shmuel Nami Nardoi, who Shmuel also was a Nardoin figure. Kidomar Shmuel, as Shmuel was known to say, and you see this in Maseches Brachas. He says Nehirin li shvili derakia kishvili denardoi. Shmuel was known as someone expert in, we'll say, matters of astronomy. And he was noted to have said, it is clear to me the paths of the heavenly bodies like the streets of Nardoi. So Shmuel, who said that, obviously came from Nardo. We continue now with Tosfos Dibur Masil, Ein Lohem. Referring to the Gemara, three lines from the top, when brothers divide, it said, Ein lehem derech ze al ze. Before we continue in the Tosis itself, we have a taktzir. Hatam di ein lehem derech ze al ze, mishum de chalukas achim have keilu mochru ze lo ze. The reason that Shmuel rules, that the reason that they don't have, let's say, easement rights one on the other, is because the division of brothers is viewed as if each one sold their holdings in the other one's portion, so that you had an estate that was divided, and before the division of the estate, each brother had a holding in an equal holding in every, let's say, every aspect of the estate, so that when the division was made, I sold out to you my portion in what you received, and you sold out to me your portion in that which I received. And when you deal with sales, uva moicher, when you deal with sales, we will see the approach taken by Rabbi Akiva of ba'ayin yofe moicher. A sale is done with a gracious spirit. I'm selling you, when I sell you something, I sell you everything, so to speak. The Tosfos. Ein lehem derech zal zeh, taimo. The reason for this is mishum de posik Shmuel peperek hamilchus abayas, because later in our Masechta in Perek hamilchus abayas, Shmuel rules, and when you look at sales, Rabbi Kiva, like the approach taken by Rabbi Kiva, doma moicher bayin yofe mocher, that when one sells, he sells with a gracious spirit, and he, in other words, a sale is done without any withholding. Lefikach ein lohem derech ze al ze, therefore they don't have easement rights one on the other. Shelo shir li atzmo klum kol echad bechelek chavero v'havei le kemocher. If you, and just to review the example we cited before when we learned the Gemara, if you have two fields, one along a road and the other located off the road, meaning an inner property, the one who took the inner property, when he decided to take that inner property, he sold out his rights that he had in the outer property completely, so that whatever path he might have been thought to receive in order to get to his inner property, we refer to that as the easement rights. No, he sold it out, and that's the idea of mocher bayin yofe mocher. He sold out everything to the other brother. The afogav the amrinon, even though in another case, not a case of brothers dividing an estate, but in a case of a sale, hamocher bayis v'shir chotzer mochar lo im haderech lemadomar mocher bayin yofe mocher. That if I let us say I happen to have a house with a courtyard, and I sold the house and kept the courtyard. When I sold the house with the path to the house. And that's a function of mocher bayin yofe mocher. So you might have thought that the brother who took the outer field when deciding to take the outer field, and the other one, the inner brother, getting the inner field, he might have said, well, then there should be a pact to the inner field. Lo dummy. The case of the mocher bayis v'shir chotzer is not similar to brothers dividing an estate. The hacha in brothers dividing an estate, kulam moichrin v'chol echad mochar v'lo shir l'asmo klum b'chelik chavero. They're all viewed as sellers, so that as such, he's not withholding anything in the other one's property. So that if I took the inner property and I sold out my rights in the outer property to the one that took the outer property, I sold out all of my rights, including the path to my inner property. And if you want to create a parallel to the house chotzer case, v'havile kamocher chotzer v'shir bayis. If, let us say, someone sold the courtyard and kept for himself the house, and the sale of the courtyard was be'ayin yafeh, and in such, the seller did not keep anything for himself. And in what did he sell? He sold the courtyard. He didn't keep anything for himself, namely the path to his house. The seller in that case, who kept for himself the house, would have to buy a path through the chotzer to get to his house because of mocher bayin yofe mocher, that when he sold the chotzer, he sold it completely without keeping for himself any path rights, easement rights to his house. We now continue with Tosfos Dibur Maschil Velo. Referring to the Gemara, four lines from the top, Velo Sulamos Zalzeh. When we learned the Gemara, we made reference to Rashi's Pshat. We read the Rashi inside, and we also hinted to the fact that Tosfos might have a variant Pshat. Once again, as we suggested all along, use the Pirush Chai to appreciate the difference between Rashi, the Kuntres, and later the Ri. So the Gemara, the Tosfos, Velo Sulamo Zalzeh, Pirush B'Kuntres, Im Notal Zeh Bayis V'Chotzer. If you had brothers where one took the house and the surrounding courtyard, house means the ground floor of the house and the surrounding courtyard. V'Zeh Notali, and the other brother took the second story. Ein likboa, when the Gemara says, when Shmuel rules lo sulam zelzeh, that means ein likboa sulam b'chatzero shelzel alos aliyoso. The one who took the upper story cannot affix a ladder in the courtyard of the brother that took the chotzer and lower story. Ve'koshe l'ri. The Ri has a difficulty with the Rashi Pshat, the Hainu, because according to that Pshat, that's exactly the same. That's the same idea as Velo Derech Ze Al Ze, where you don't have a path from one brother's property into the property you took. That's the same thing of setting up a ladder, which is your path, so to speak, to your Aliyah. You can't set up the ladder in the other brother's property, the one who took the Chotzer. So if, as Rashi explained, Lo Sulam Zalzeh, that would be a redundancy for the list of rules that Shmuel taught, already mentioned that by saying Lo Derech Zalzeh, Venira Lari, and therefore the Ri comes up with his pshat. Kigon, what must have taken place in the case of the ladders? Kigon Shalokach Zeh Bayis, one brother took the ground floor, Vezeh Aliyah V'Chotzer, and the other one took the second story and the surrounding chotzer. So as far as that's concerned, there would be certainly no problem in putting the legs of the ladder, the feet of the ladder, in the courtyard and the top of the ladder leaning on the aliyah. Both the chotzer and the aliyah belong to one person. However, so what does lo sulam zelzeh dictate? Ein lo ilismo chasulam bekoisel shelzeh valalos valioso. The one who took the courtyard and second story shall not lean the top of the ladder on the wall of the house, of the bias. That would be the meaning of alo sulamos zelze. Do not lean your ladder on the bias in order to get to the aliyah. The bias belongs to the other brother. We now continue with the with Tosfos Dibur Masel V'i Boyas Ema, referring to the Gemara that you can see six lines before the Gemara lines get wide. Let me make a correction. This Tosfos is relevant to the Gemara that we will learn shortly. So at this point, let us go back to the Gemara, more accurately, the Mishnah on Daf Zayin Omid Beis. So now the Mishnah. Kaifen Oisoi Livnois Beis Shar Videlis Luchotzer. A member of a courtyard can be forced to contribute to the building of a Beis Shar and a Delis. We highly recommend, as we've been repeating all along, to use the Pirush Chai Book of Illustrations to appreciate what a base shar is. It's a type of semicircular wall with a little door to the side at the entrance of a courtyard. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Kol HaChatzeres Ruyos LeBeis Shar. Rabbi Shimon says not all courtyards are fit to have a Beis Shar that built in addition to the door to the Chotzer, in addition to the, say, the regular gate, the main entrance to the Chotzer. Kaifen Oisoi Livnois Leir Choyma Udolosaim Uporiach. A member of a city can be forced to contribute to the building of the city walls, city gates, and the boriach. Boriach is a type of bar or mechanism to serve as a lock on the gates to keep it sealed and shut. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Kol Hayoros Ruyos L'Choyma. Not all cities are fit to have a wall. We've spoken about the forcing of a member of a city to contribute. How long must a person be in a community to be considered a member of that community for this purpose? Kamo yehei b'ir v'yei kanshi o'ir. Yud beis chodesh, 12 months. Konavo beis dira. If a person bought a dwelling in a community, Harehu Ka'anshe Hoyer Miyad, he is considered immediately like a member of that city, even without having dwelt there 12 months. In saying that a Beis Shar is to be built, the Tanakhama said certainly a Beis Shar is something that can be forced to be built. You're assuming then that a Beis Shar is a positive thing. However, in the Gemara, we will see to the contrary. Lameimro de Beishar mal Yusahi. Are you suggesting that a Beishar is a positive thing? V'ahu chasido. However, there was once a pious individual, to have a rogi Eliyo, to have a mishtoi badei. He was regular in having Eliyo Hanovi communicate, talk with him. Ovad Beishar, v'sulo mishtoi badei. And that chosid built a Beishar to his chotzer, and Eliyo stopped speaking with him. And Rashi explains the Beis Shar lefisha mafsik bo'aniyim hatzorakim ve'en kolam nishma. Without a Beis Shar, so you have a courtyard with a gate, poor people could come right up to the gate and call out for help, and members of the courtyard would come and assist the poor man. With the Beis Shar present, the voice of the poor people is blocked, so that so by having a Beis Shar, you're reducing the ability to perform charity, and that's reason enough for Elio to stop his contact with that chasida. So how is it that in our Mishnah we can impose contributing toward the construction of a Beis Shaar, and here we see to the contrary, lo kasha, really, there is no difficulty. And if you scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice quite a few stages, options of resolving this seeming inconsistency. Lo kasha, ho mi gavoy, ho mi baroy. If the Beis Shaar is built from within, in other words, there is a gate to the courtyard, and within the courtyard, a semicircular structure that we call a Beis Shaar is built, that's no good, because poor people will reach the gate. Their voice, however, will be blocked from the Beis Shaar that continues within the chotzer. That's what we call is no good. The Mishnah, though, is referring to a Beis Shaar that is built from the outside. So if you have a Beis Shaar built from outside, the Aniyim can enter the Beis Shaar and encounter the gate, but their voice is heard from within the gate. Another option is that both the Mishnah and the story with the Chosid are Beis Shaarim built from without, v'lo kashi, and still there is no difficulty. Ha di'is le'delas, ha de'les le'delas. If the Beis Shaar has a door, that would block the Aniyim from entering the Beis Shaar, and that's no good. However, if there is no door, so the Aniyim could still enter the external Beis Shaar, meet up with the gate, call out, and receive help. Iboy se'maha v'ha di'is le'delas v'lo kashya. Both the Mishnah and the story with Eliyahu have a Beis Shaar from the outside, and both cases have the Beis Shaar with a door, and still there's no difficulty. For our purposes of posachas, we will call a type of lock. If the Beis Shaar that has a door on it has a, that door is locked though, that's no good. But if the door is free to open, then that's okay. V'boy yisemoha v'odisle posachas v'lo kasha. Ha de posachas didei mi gavoy, ha de posachas didei mi baroy. Even if both cases involve a Beis Shaar with a door with a lock on it, still we can resolve the difference between the Mishnah and the story. If the posachas is from within, so the Oni can't release the lock. If the posachas is from without, is external, that's mi baroy, then it's okay. The Aniyim can enter the Beis Shaar by undoing the posachas, which is mi baroy, which is from without. And that's what the Mishnah was speaking about. In our Mishnah, we saw Reb Shimon Liel said that not all chatzeros are roy to have a Beis Shaar. Tanya, Reb Shimon Liel omer, lo kol chatzeros roy to a Beis Shaar. And we'll see later Reb Shimon Liel's qualification regarding cities. That's what the double underline marking highlights. Not all courtyards are fit for a Beis Shaar. Elo chotzer hasmuch lushus rabim ruil Beis Shaar. If it's a courtyard that is built up alongside a public thoroughfare, that kind of courtyard is fit to have a Beis Shaar. There is a note in the Rabbeinu Gershom, chotzer hasmuch lushus rabim tzrucha Beis Shaar. Klomar im movui she'eno mefulosh v'yesh bo chatzeros. Osan shebifnim ein tzrich l'shar, v'lo hoyu kofen, avol oisa smuch l'shus harabim, tzorich v'hoyu kofen. Rabbeinu Gershom adds that the chotzer, generally speaking, is a courtyard built along a movui. A movui is a type of alleyway, a cul-de-sac in this case, because Rabbeinu Gershom describes a movui she'ein eino mefulosh. It's not a through way. A thoroughfare. So if it's a movui she'eno mefulosh, if it's a chotzer that's built far inwards, they don't need a Beis Shaar. However, a chotzer that's built in a movui that's near the public thoroughfare, that is a kind of chotzer that we would force the members to contribute to the building of a Beis Shaar. The source that we are involved with continues back in the Gemara third wide line. V'she'eno smuch l'shus rabim, eino Ru'uya lebeis shar, a courtyard that's not near the public thoroughfare, is not fit, it is not necessary to have the beis shar. So you can see that the beis shar serves as an additional, we'll say, additional source of privacy or protection against the pressure that would be experienced by the presence of the public. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan who did not make that distinction, they hold even a chotzer that's built inwards off the public thoroughfare is fit to have a beis shar. The same in the dachi ben rishus rav mevayu vasu. Sometimes there are overflow crowds in the public thoroughfare that spill into far into the what the Rabbeinu Gershom termed the movui, and hence the necessity of having a beis shar exists for them as well, for the inner chatzeras. Once again, let's make reference to Rav Shimon Gamliel's point that he said in the Mishnah, not all cities are fit for having a wall, etc. And here you have a brisa that elaborates, just like we saw before, the brisa elaborated on the issue of the chatzeros. Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Imer lo kol ha'ayor shot ru'uyos l'choyma. Not all cities are fit or have a necessity of having a wall. El yira smuchli the sfar, really choma, a city that's near the sfar, a border town, the border of the, let's say, if you're dealing with Israel, on the border of Israel, that needs a wall. A town, however, shena smuchli the sfar, that's a town that's not near the border, ain't a ruya lachoma. V'rabbanan, the rabbis, the Tanakam, who did not make that distinction, zimna the mikru v'asu geisa. Sometimes there are military forces that push inland as well, and therefore even inland cities need a wall. Ba'aminei, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, k'shen goyven, when collections are made for the wall, l'fi nefashas goyven, oi dilma l'fi shevach momen goyven. Is it made according to, when you're dealing with collecting from people, is it according to the number of people in a given family, like a per capita payment, or is it according to your level of wealth? In other words, the more wealth you have, the more need for protection you have. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Lefi momon govin velozer bini kova bo masmeros. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's a collection made based on momon, on wealth, and my son Elazar established it as a formal ruling, literally established it with nails. Rashi says, Hizoyer Lodun Cain, be careful to judge thusly, to if you're making a collection, do it based on income or wealth, and below Tazuz Mimenon, do not veer away from that. Continuing in the Gemara, Iko of the Amri, Baamine, Rebelozer, Mirabi Yochanan, Chen Gleven. Another version has Rebelozer asking of Rabbi Yochanan, when collection is made, Lefi Kiruv Batame Govin Oyu Dilma Lefi Shevach Mamon Govin, is the level of contribution based on proximity to the wall. The closer you are to the wall, the more you need its protection. The further in town you are, the less urgent is the need. There's less urgency, or maybe collection is made according to wealth level. According to this version, collection is made based on proximity to the wall. And once again, my son Elazar has established this ruling. You can see we have a new marking, a bow tie shape on the side of the Gemara. We have an explanation reading, Rabbonim, Shetilu Misim al Palmi Chomim. We'll see stories involving rabbis that impose taxes on Torah scholars. In addition, we have a diamond marking, Reish Lakish, for Yochanan Mevi'im Psukim. They will bring cite verses, Lochich de Rabbonim lo tzrichi netirusa, to demonstrate, to prove that rabbis do not need mortal protection. In contrast, or in in opposition to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who did impose wall costs on the rabbis of that town. The double underline marking you'll see throughout the sugya, highlighting the phrase Rabbanan lo tzrichi netirusa, rabbis don't need guarding. They're Torah learning guards that protects them. The Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rama de Shura ad Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the leader, placed the costs of the city walls on the rabbis. Amar Lei Reish Lakish, Rabbanan lo tzrichi netirusa. The rabbis don't need guarding. Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, first we'll cite a Pasuk, then Gemara will try to understand what is the Pasuk talking about until we get to the main point. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perakuf Lamates, Pasuk Yud Ches, Esperem Mechol Yirbun. Esperem means counting. Esperem Lan, who is counted? Ilem Le Tzadikim, if you think it's referring to the Tzadikim. And if you continue the Pasuk, it would come out in Efishim Michola, that there are more Tzadikim than there is sand of the sea. That can't be. Hashta kul Yisrael ksivbu, regarding all of the nation of Israel, the Pasuk says, kechel she'as vasayom, like the sand on the shores of the sea, that all of Israel is equal to the sand of the sea. Tzadikim atzmin michol yirgun, the tzadikim themselves would be more than the sand of the sea. That, so therefore, what is being counted and comes out more than the sand of the sea? Elo hachi komar. Esperem, I will count lemaaseim shel tzadikim mechol yirbun, the righteous deeds of the tzadikim is counted, and that amounts to an amount greater than the sand of the sea. The kal v'chomer, and with this in mind, with this analogy in mind, we can issue the following kal v'chomer logic. Umachol shemuat megin al hayam, mind you, the sand of the sea, which relative to the sea is very little, and yet it prevents the sea from inundating the land. It protects against the sea. So you have something rather little protecting against a great force. Ma'asem shel tzadikim shehem merubim, the righteous deeds of the pious ones, which are merubim, which are great, means more than the sand of the sea. Lo kol shekein shem ginim alayim, all the more so it will have the capacity of protecting. So that's Reish Lakish's argument from the Pasuk in Tehillim against the practice of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. He also lekamei to Rabbi Yochanan, when this issue came to the presence of Rabbi Yochanan Malay, Rabbi Yochanan responded, "My time alotei Malay meha, why did you not cite the following?" So Rabbi Yochanan now offers a Pasuk from Shir HaShirim to convey this point, and we'll have to then wait to see then what is Reish Lakish's response, why he, Reish Lakish, did not cite this Pasuk. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, why did you not cite the following? The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Ani choma v'shadai kemigdolos. Ani choma zu Torah. I am a wall, that's the Torah. V'shadai kemigdolos. And my breasts are like turrets. And the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Ches. Elu Talmidei Chachomim. So what do you see from here? That the Talmidei Chachomim themselves, with their Torah, are the wall. They don't need an artificial man-made wall for protection. But Reish Lakish, well, we said Reish Lakish didn't cite this pasuk. Savar lo ki de'dorash Rava. He takes this pasuk Ani Choma like Rava. Ani Choma zu Knesset Yisrael. That's a reference to the nation of Israel. V'shadai kemigdolos elu bote Knesset bote midrashos. The reference to the turrets is a reference to the synagogues and bote midrashos. Rashi on the top says zu Knesset Yisrael kulam shavin leinyan choma v'goydrim atzmam militama b'avdikachovim. The all of the nation of Israel is similar to one another regarding the issue of a wall. What is the reference to a wall? The wall of ani choma v'shem gulos is a reference to the Jews. Protection against distancing themselves from intermarriage, from being absorbed amongst the idol worshippers. So as far as a pasuk referring to the Talmidei Chachomim, Reish Lakish cited the pasuk of Esperem Mechol Yirbun. Rav Chonon bar Rav Chisda, Romo Karga Arabonon. Rav Chonon levied a karga, it's a type of tax on the rabbis. Amale Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Notice we have a very long point over here. Rav Nachman says, by your levying a karga tax on the Rabbanan, Avris, Adaraisa, Navi, Adiksuvi, you have violated the Torah, the Neviim, and the Ksuvim. Adaraisa the thief, regarding the Pusik in the Torah, it says, Avcho v'vamim kol k'desho v'yodecho. Now the explanation. Omar Moshe, thank God, Baruch Hu. Ribbono shel Olam. Afilu b'shoah she'ata mechabe v'amim, even when you show desire toward the nations of the world, kol k'doshav yu biyodechav. Rashi, on the third line from the top, says, kol k'doshav shel Yisrael biyodechav heim l'shomram. The holy ones of Israel are still within your hands to protect them. So you have a situation like you have today, where the nations of the world are, so to speak, on top. And that's because God has shown his grace toward them, and they have the upper hand over the Jewish people. Nevertheless, the tzaddikim, the kedoshim, the holy ones are within your hands to protect. The pasuk goes on in the Torah. The pasuk goes on to say, "V'hem tukul raglecha." Tony Rav Yosef, this pasuk is Eilu Tamei Chachamim. It's a reference to the Torah scholars, Shemekatzim Raglami or Leir Medina Lulmoi Torah, who walk, who literally Katzim Raglam, they trample upon their feet from city to city, from region to region, to learn Torah. Someone who wants to become proficient, expert in Torah learning, will travel to great distances in order to achieve that goal. Yisaw Midabro Secha. The pasuk continues, Lisa v'litein b'divroisav shel mokom. They travel from city to city to engage in discourse concerning the teachings of the Almighty. Now, Adonavi, we said that by levying the karga, the tax against the Rabbanim, is in violation of that which is in the prophets, specifically Hoshea Periches pasuk Yud, Dichtiv, Gam ki yisnu bagoyim ato akabtsein v'yochelu ma'ot mimasa melech v'sorim. Omar Ula. Posuk ze Beloshan Aram is Nema. The Posuk that we just read has within it Aramaic. And the Posuk started by saying Gam ki Yisnu. Now the word Yisnu in Hebrew would mean Yitnu is given to. But in Aramaic, Yisnu, like the word Masnisen, means learning, like the Mishnah, Mishnayas, Shoneh, Vishinantam Levonecha. It has to do with Torah learning. So in viewing and understanding this pasuk with an Aramaic element in it, we have the following. E tonu kulu, if all of the Jewish people would be involved with Torah learning, ato akab sein, there would be a very soon, an immediate ingathering. Rashi, on the first narrow line, im tonu kulam, v'chein rubam, Rashi adds a very, very significant point. Not only the expectation or hope that all the Jews are involved with Torah learning, even if the majority of the Jews are involved with Torah learning, v'chein rubam, you shoinim v'oiskim b'torah kishi yiglu bo'amim, when they're dispersed into the diaspora, in the very near future, I will ingather them, so that in exchange for mass Torah learning, we have redemption. The Gemara continues, ve'im ma'at mehem, and if only a minority are such, the pasuk had said, yochelu mimasam el v'sorim. Rashi says, even if there are few that are learning amongst in the nations, in the diaspora, in the exile, they are exempted from bearing the burden of kings and ministers. And for our purposes, of course, they are released from tax obligations. We continue in the Gemara. Adiksuvi, we said by levying the Kargan Rabbonin, you're in violation of that which is taught in the Ksuvim, Dichtiv. This is a pasuk from Ezra. Bear in mind that Ezra is a book, most of which is in Aramaic. Minda below v'haloch lo shalit lemirme alehom. The Omar of Yudah, Minda Zum Minasa Melech. Minda is a reference to a portion collected for the king. Below Zu Kesef Gulgolta, that's a head tax. Vahaloch Zu Arnona. It's another type of tax. Rashi on Arnona says, Isurei, giving a tenth, a tithing, Isurei Tevuos Ubeimos, Bidei Shana Bishana. Tithing of grains, of harvest, and animals on an annual basis. So in this pasuk, it said, Lo Shalit Lemirme Aleon. This tax shall not be placed upon them. When we get into the in the Tosfos, you'll see later it's a reference to those that are involved at the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and we extend that idea to those that are involved with Torah learning. Exemption from taxes. Rav Papa, Roma Karyo Chadato Ayasmi. Here we get into a different topic. It has to do with placing taxes on orphans. He placed Karya has to do with digging. Karya Chadata, this, according to Rashi, is Yitzias Kriyas Be'er Mayim Chayim Lishtos, digging for spring water, digging live wells for drinking purposes. And he placed this tax on orphans. Orphans are minors that they would have to pay from the estate they inherited. Omar le Rav Shishabre de Rav Edi le Rav Papa v'dema lo midvil. Maybe the digging will not yield any flowing water, and so in the meantime you've collected money for them for something that never comes to be, and that presents a financial problem, a legal problem, that Yisoimim, orphans, minors, are not capable of mechila, forgiving money collected from them that doesn't produce the expected results. So how can you collect money from them when you're subjecting yourself to the possibility of it of no water being found, and you're holding on to their money illegally? Omalei, so he answers, Mishkal Shakil, I mean, I take the money from them, I collect the money from them, Imidvil, if water flows, that's great, then they benefit from the money collected from them. Velo, and if no water is found, Madana lo nihalayu, I will return the money unto them. Amrav Yuda, Hakol leigligapa afilu miasmi. All are expected to contribute to the building, construction of the gates of the city, even from orphans. Avol rabbanan lo tzrichin etirusa. Inconsistency with the theme that we saw before, you won't collect that money from the rabbis. They don't need protection. Hakol lekarya pasya afilu merabonan. All must contribute to the digging of wells. We saw that idea just before with Rav Papa. Even the rabbanan, the lo amoran ela de lo nafki b'chuzo. This idea of having to contribute is if it's a money contribution. Not so if the municipal digging was done by groups of city of let's say of citizens of the city. Uchluza nafki b'chuzo means they go out in the general population. Avol nafki b'chuzo, if the tax was not a financial collection but rather a personal participation on a municipal level of going out, people would there would be people selected at random or on a cyclical basis for going out and digging for water. Rabbona lo b'nei mepek b'chluza ninu. The rabbis wouldn't be expected to participate in that. It's not dignified for rabbis to go out with shovels and other let's say digging implements for the purpose of finding water. At this point, let us go back to the Tosfos on Daf Zayin Omid Beis. Where we left off last time. Tosfos Dibur Hamaschil V'i Boyes Emo Ha V'ha Mibaroi. This is a reference to the Gemara, six lines before the wide lines in the Gemara. We were dealing with the issue of a Beis Shar built semicircular wall built at the entrance of a chotzer, we saw a seeming discrepancy between the Mishnah and a story involving the Chasida and Elionovi. We resolved the Mishnah where it seems positive, and the story where the Beishar seemed to be negative. One of the stages of resolution was in both cases you're dealing with a Baroi, where the Beishar is built out on the outside part of the gate. Again, we remind you, use the Pirush Chai Book of Illustrations. What Tosfos does here is he tells us what girsa, what version should be maintained and what should not be found. And therefore, he says, Velo Garsinon, don't attempt to resolve the two sources by saying Ha Vaha Migavoi. Both are in cases where the Beishar is within. The Migavoi Ein Shayech Lechalek Bein Isle Deles Leles Le. In the Gemara itself, we saw a distinction made between a Beishar with a door and without. That distinction would have no relevance to a Beishar built from within. Likewise, Ubein Isle Poisachas Leles Le. Or a base shar where the base shar is built from within, the distinction made by the Gemara would have no relevance regarding the distinction whether it had a posachas, a lock, or not. The b'chol inyan hu ra, when you're dealing with a base shar from within, it's negative. If the base shar is from within, in all cases it's negative. Kevon she'en yochol lovo elo ad pesach hachotzer. Because the poor, they reach only the door, the gate of the courtyard, and that's once they reach the gate of the courtyard, and you have a beis shar from within, whether or not it has a door to it or a lock, their voice is blocked, and therefore we can't find any, we'll say, good aspect or positive description of a beis shar from within. So that the attempt to say that both the Mishnah and the Mishnah represents a positive situation, positive Beishar, and the story of the Gemara represents a negative Beishar, we would not be able to make this distinction if we set up both cases having a Beishar Migavoy from within. And hence the Gemara made the distinction as it did, with both cases having a Beishar from without, from outside. Sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it's negative, as we saw in the Gemara. V'ein lefaresh ha de'is le deles, ha deles la deles achotzer koi. When we learned the Gemara, we saw in our marked Gemaras, you can see stage 2, v'lo kashi ha de'is le deles, ha deles le deles, that the deles referred to at that stage of the Gemara was a delis, a door of the chotzer. To have a masnis in bedya katani kaifen oisoi livnois delis lechotzer. The issue of a door it's incumbent upon all members of the chotzer to contribute to a door. That's the door of the chotzer. So to suggest that you'd have the positive beis shar as a case where there is no door, and say that that's a reference to the door of the chotzer, that would contradict the ruling of the Mishnah, where a chotzer has to have a door. Hence, the Gemara's distinction between if there is a door versus not a door is a reference to the door of the beis shar. So that if the beis shar has no door, then at that stage in the Gemara, that was the case of the Mishnah. That was a positive type of Beis Shar. But a door to the Chotzer, that's definitely present. Ulamai de Garsinon Mibaroi, the version that we have, where the Gemara said both cases of Beis Shar are from without. We said ha v'ha mi baroi, ktsas koshe. there's a slight difficulty. I would call this a technical difficulty, but not a type of difficulty that, we'll say, disrupts the Gemara from reaching its final conclusions, but a technical difficulty. The lo havi kishar shinuye. The pattern doesn't match the continuation of the Gemara. In what sense? The nokat tzad de lo mali. In the hemshich of the Gemara shows, they will say, the negative description. Ha veha de islay delis. Or, we saw that was at stage. Saw that at stage three, it said ha v'ha d'islay delis, and the ha, and another example at stage four, ha v'ha d'islay posachas. By saying that both in stage three of the Gemara, both have a door. That's the presence of the door. At first glance, is negative. Then we have to make a distinction. Is there a posachas or not a posachas? Or in stage four, we said both are cases where there is a posachas. Those are, that's a presentation of what seems to be a negative situation. And then we have to say, well, even that which looks negative is okay if the posachas is mibaroi. The hacha at stage two, where the Gemara said ha v'ha mibaroi, the hacha nokit hahu demali, both cases where baroi is where the beishar is from the outside, that's positive. That represents a positive situation. And the Gemara's job was to show that even though they both cases seem to be positive, where do you see the negative? That's in contrast to the subsequent cases where we presented where both appear to be negative, and we have to explain where is the positive, as opposed to the first state, because stage two, where both are positive, and we have to show where it's negative. So there's a certain lack of consistency in that sense. But as we indicated before, as Tosis himself said, that was called Ktsas Koshe. We continue with Tosis, Dibur Masfil, Lefi. Lefi Shevach Momon and Govin, 11 lines from the bottom of the Gemara. The issue was, how do we assess the contribution demanded from people in a city for the building of the wall? And the Gemara said that it depends on Shevach Momon, the wealth level of the individual. The more wealth he has, the more he's expected to contribute to the municipal wall. Kevon the Ein Bo Sakonas Nefoshes, since the issue of the wall was not an issue of something to prevent a life-threatening situation, but rather the wall was to protect against marauders that are trying to plunder capture booty, money, wealth, etc. Therefore, we say that the collection is based on wealth level. And since it's ein bo sakonas nefoshes, lo azlinon elo boser momon. The way we assess the tax rate, or the cost amount, it's simply based on momon. V'hochi nami omar b'gezel basra. Similarly, you find in the last parak of Bava Kama regarding a caravan. Shayor olechas b'midbar v'omad ole al-gayas, a caravan that's traveling through a desert, and an attacking force comes upon them. Mechashvim lefi momon, in order to protect themselves, in order to fend off the gayas, a calculation is made according to each one's wealth. The lekos sakonas nefoshes, the gaius, these, and we'll say thieves, don't pose a life threat. Kevon de ein ha gaius ba rak b'shvil momon, they're coming for money purposes. Now, it's I don't know if everyone imagines things like that, but just for the sake of illustration, say in the worst case scenario, let's say the caravan would not cooperate with the Gaius, the Gaius would, we'll say, we'll chain them up, we'll put them in handcuffs or subject them to some kind of personal pain, difficulty, or the like, but they're not coming as a life-threatening force. And therefore, the calculation made in how much each one must contribute in the case of a caravan attacked by thieves, it's according to each one's mamon. V'af al-gav, the Omer Perek ben Sorer, even though it says in Sanhedrin, in Perek ben Sorer, ha-dabor b'machteres, nidon al-shem sofo, someone who is bor b'machteres, that's someone who is digging into someone's house, literally, to steal. That individual, that thief, is subject to, we'll say, to death because of the awareness, umeforesh rova. The rova explains, taimo bagamora, mishum chazoka dein oda ma'amid atzma mamona. Why is it that the thief can be killed? Because the thief knows that a person will not stand by while his money is being taken. And the homeowner will kill the intruder, and that is what and the thief is aware of, that he is subject to being killed by the balabayas, and hence he is prepared to kill the balabayas in self defense. The afilu hachi, even so, even with that sugya in mind, ain mechashvin, in the case of the shayora, nevertheless the calculation is made elul lefi mamon kevan da'gayas, because the thieves, the bandits there, biritzono eino bo al hanefashos, they're not coming with intent to kill. De'im lo yamdu k'negdom lo yazik legufam, if the members of the caravan don't stand up against them, don't resist, they will not impose any bodily damage. Hilkoch lochoshiv sakonas nefashos. Therefore, the caravan case is not viewed as something life threatening. Lefikoch im yamdu aleim listim v'nispashru imoyem. Therefore, if bandits attack the caravan and they come to a settlement as far as paying them off, the payment is collected goyven lefi momo. Aval hecha de tol b'midbar. However, if you have a caravan that is traveling through a desert, and a mistake in the desert could be life-threatening. In other words, there are certain paths that have, we'll say, water along them, and certain and veering off that would lead to death. That's Aval hecha de tol b'midbar omar hosam de mechashvinun af lefi hanefoshos. There, in hiring a guide that's familiar with the desert, and the guide is to be paid, his payment is collected from the members of the caravan, even with the, let's say, per capita amount in mind. Mishum dekeva deto ikos sakonas nefosh, because in the event of a mistake in the path taken in the desert, there is a life-threatening element. So the collection made to pay the guide is not only according to individual's wealth, but also on a per capita basis. We continue with the Tosfos Dibor Masel Lefi Kiruv Batim. We saw that as another one of the methods of deciding how much money is paid in the construction of a municipal wall. And the Gemara dealt with here, you can find 8 to 9 lines from the bottom. Pirush Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam explains that according to this approach of Lafi Kiruv Batim, which if you look carefully in the Gemara, you'll notice that this was part of the Ikad the Amri, the second version of this discussion. Rabbeinu Tam explains that V'noisim Aniyim Krovim Yosim Ruchokim. Poor people were assessed as a separate class. Those closer to the wall would contribute more than poor people far in, further away from the wall. V'chein Ashirim, and the wealthy were viewed as a separate class, and Ashirim Krovim would contribute more, Yosim Me'ashirim Ruchokim, more than rich people far in. Avol Ashirim Ruchokim Nesim Yosim Aniyim Krovim. But people of means, people of wealth, that were located further in, would pay more than the poor who were close to the wall. The issue of financial means is also taken into consideration. So that when you look in the Gemara at the first version, where you have a little diamond with a Roman numeral number 1 in the Gemara, there you have Rabbi Yochanan ruling Lefi Mamon Goyven. According to version number 2, Tosfos is pointing out that the phenomenon or concept of Lefi Mamon is not rejected in completely, even though it's presented in the question Aleph O Dilma Beis, Aleph, do we say Lefi Kiruv Batim or Lefi Mamon? Tosfos is pointing out that even though the Gemara's maskona was Lefi Kiruv Batim, it's not a total denial of Lefi Mamon. The Lefi Mamon consideration remains, even though we conclude Lefi Kiruv Batim, if the person was close to the wall happens to be a man of limited means, he's an oni, he will end up paying less than an oshir located further in, because the fi momon remains part of the calculation or the consideration. We continue with the next tesis, the last tesis on the Omid, Dibur Masel I Lema. The Gemara presented, I should say, the Reish Lakish presented a pasuk to prove that Rabbanan lo tzrichu nitzrusa from Tehillim, Perek Kuf Lamed Tes, pasuk Yudches, Esperem Mechol Yerbun. Pasuk said, I will count them. What is the counting a reference to? So the Gemara, 6 lines from the bottom, I Lemo Letzadikim. If you are to think that I will count them as a reference to counting the righteous ones. So Tosfos points out the Havamina for thinking that is founded upon the context. Deva Hochi Mairi Kra. It's Bahochi, meaning regarding this, meaning Tzadikim, the Pasuk was speaking. Now, in our Gemara, we cited Pasuk Yud Ches. If you look in Tehillim Kuf Lamedtes Pasuk Yud Zayin, the previous Pasuk, Tiliel Minei Ksiv, Vali Ma Yokru Reecha Kel Me Otzmu Roshehem. So that the Pasuk was referring to how beloved are the friends, the beloved of God. That, in simple terms, is a reference to the tzadikim. So Pasuk Yud Zayin was referring to the tzadikim. Oksiv Basrei, and then right after that it says, Esprem, I will count them. And it says, Mechol Yerbun. So there was reason for the Gemara to suggest that maybe it's a reference to the pronoun, I will count them, is a reference to the tzadikim. So as a result, that the Gemara proved could not be, but the point of Tosfos is to show how the Ilema, meaning the Havamina, The Hava Amina was justified. We now continue with the Tosfos at the top of Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Daf Ches, the Tosfos referring to the Pasuk in the Ksuvim, Lo Sholit Lemirma Aleim. This is a citation from the Gemara on Daf Ches, 18 lines from the top of the Gemara, the Pasuk in Ezra, Perek Zion, Pasuk Chav Dalit. It said, you shall not place the tax upon them. Now when you look in the scripture, you will find, when you look in the Pasuk, you will see it's a reference to the Kehanim and Levium that were mentioned earlier in the Pasuk. And they are not to be taxed. Lefi Shahoyu Asuki Bimlecha Shemayim Bavinim Beis HaMikdash. Since they were involved with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that was reason for exempting them from the tax. Hochinami, so too in our context, meaning in our Gemara, which was citing the point that Talmidei Chachamim were to be exempted from taxes. Hochinami ein latil mas al lom de Torah. One is not to impose tax on those that are engaged in Torah study. The engagement in Torah study is also a form of meleches shomayim. The pasuk said vahaloch, and the Gemara explained zu arnona, 20 lines from the top of the Gemara. And in explaining that, pirush bekuntres in dibra maskel arnona, Rashi explained isur bemus utvua, a tenth of the annual animals and grains. Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh, and the Rach has a different explanation. Aruchas Doron, it's a tax which is used, meals are provided. Aruchas Doron, Leshiltoin Ha'oiver Mimokom Lemokom. Governmental authorities that travel from city to city, those cities provided meals for those government officials. This explanation of the Rabbeinu Chananel, that haloch is a reference to this, we call this meal tax, provided for the the governmental authorities walking from city to city, is based on a pasuk in Shmuel, Perek Beis, Mishmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Dalit. It says Vayavo Heilech Loish HaAshir, and in that pasuk it goes on to say Vayachmo Lakachas Mitzono Umibukoroi Lasos La'oreach habo lo. So that you see in that posuk, Helech, that means the posuk that the Gemara here cited, Vahaloch, and money or collection was made for providing him with meals. The next Tosfos, Karyo Pasya, we saw in terms of digging, when we learned the Gemara, we explained it, of course, that was based on Rashi. It was a tax for the digging of wells. That was, of course, in accordance with Rashi's explanation, and the Gemara had said everyone must contribute to that, and even the Rabbanan. So the thinking there was that we were speaking about digging for water. Tosfos has the Rabbeinu Chananel's Pirush, Karya Pasyo, Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Laasir Gavshushis Merichov Ho'ir, to remove mounds, the earth or dirt that accumulated in the city streets, might become impassable. So money collected for for removing the gavshushis is money that would be collected even from Talmidei Chachamim. It's a type of collection that's not for protection purposes, but for ease of movement. And that's something like the Gemara said, even Talmidei Chachamim need. And this, just to repeat, this is in contrast with Rashi's explanation that Karyapasa was digging for water. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.